Okay, welcome back. We are up to Maseches Yevamos, a whole new Seder of Mishnayos that we will begin right now. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Chapter 1, Mishnah 1, says the Mishnah as follows. So before we even begin, we have to know that there is something called Yibum. Yibum is when a woman is married to a man and they do not have any children, and that man that she is married to has a brother, and her husband passes away. So now she falls to Yibum to the brother. There is something called Yibum, which would be marrying this brother, and there is something called Chalitza, which means they will remove that connection, and they are no longer going to need to get married with one another. We'll speak about both throughout the course of the Masechta, but the first way the Masechta begins is by trying to understand that there are 15 different relationships that will eliminate any need to have any Yibum or Chalitza if there are certain co-wives involved, meaning that if one of the following women are going to be attached or connected to this marriage in any way, then they will exempt any sort of marriage from taking place over Yibum or Chalitza. So says the Mishnah as follows. Chameshas Reinashim Potros Tzeroseh, and there are 15 women who, because they are an erva to the only living brother of their dead husband, will exempt their co-wives from chalitza and yibum. V'tzaros tzaroseyan mena chalitza mena yibum. And even the co-wives of the co-wives will stop the chalitza or yibum from needing to happen. So basically, if you have this brother who is married to, let's say, any of these women that we're about to list, then it will exempt the current woman who just lost her husband from needing to do Yibum or Chalitza, and this is true ad sofa olam, and this would continue forever, meaning if there is a third brother, and he performed the Yibum with the co-wife of the Erva, and then died, then the co-wife of the co-wife of the co-wife of the Erva would also be exempted. It's sort of hard to understand this what it actually will come down to, but conceptually, it's important to be able to wrap our heads around it, at least, let's say, superficially, without a picture in front of us. Ve'iluhin, and these are the 15 relationships that will do this. Bito, his daughter, Ubat Bito, his daughter's daughter, Ubat Bino, or his son's daughter, Bat Ishto, his wife's daughter, Ubas Bina, the wife's son's daughter, Ubas Bita, or the wife's daughter's daughter, Chamoso, his wife's mother, Ve'im Chamoso, his wife's mother's mother, Ve'im Chamiv, and his wife's father's mother, Achoso Mi'imo, his half-sister from his mother's side, the Achos Imo, and his mother's sister, the Achos Ishto, his wife's sister, the Ashes Achiv Mi'imo, the wife of his half-brother from his mother's side, the Ashes Achiv Shalo Haya Ba'olamo, the wife of his brother whose world he didn't share, meaning the wife of a brother who died before the brother was born, the Kaloso, and his daughter-in-law. So all of these people, Hare Ilu Putro, Sarosein, Vitzaros, Sarosein, Menachalitza, Menayibim, all these women will exempt their co-wives and the co-wives of their co-wives from Chalitza and Yibim Ad Sof HaOlam, and even exempt the co-wives of the second co-wives, and so on forever, for as many brothers and sets of co-wives as there may be. So again, all of this is quite complex, but basically what we're saying over here is that if the second brother is married to any of these women, then this will exempt the current woman who just lost her husband from having any sort of a Yibum or Chalitza connection with this brother, and so on and so forth, which means that if this was true even for a third brother, a fourth brother, etc., all of these people would be then exempted. V'kulan, and with regard to all of these 15 women, imesu, if they died before their husband, ome'ano, or if they performed miyun, which would basically nullify their marriage to him before he died, onitgarshu, or if they were divorced by him before he died, oh, shenimsu ilunis, or if they were found to be an ilunis before he died, meaning they were found to have certain physical characteristics that show that they can never have children, and their marriage was therefore annulled. Sarosein mutaros, then in all these cases, their co-wives to whom the dead man was still married at the time of his death are permitted to the living brother, since at the time of the husband's death, he was not married to the erva, and the living brother can therefore perform yibum or chalitza with one of the remaining wives. But you can say regarding his wife's mother, uveim chamoso, or his wife's mother's mother, uveim chamiv, or his wife's father's mother, shenimsu ilunis, that they were found to be an ilunis, since an ilunis can't have children. And obviously, these people do have children. Oshemeino. Nor can you say that they, the mother-in-law or the grandmother-in-law, did miyun with the deceased brother before he died, because a woman can perform miyun only before she reaches an age of maturity. And since a woman can have children only after she reaches the age of puberty, of maturity, it cannot be that her daughter married the living brother while she was still married to the deceased brother, and therefore these cases would not be able to have these sort of exceptions. Okay, a very complex first Mishnah, but don't let it slow you down, because we're going to keep moving. Ketzad Potros Sarasein, what is the case in which the 15 women would exempt their co-wives from chalitza or yibam? The previous Mishnah just taught about. So very simple. The man's daughter, or any of these other 15 women, was married to his brother. Below Isha Acheres, and this brother has another wife. Vames, and he dies. Kishem Shabito Petura, just as the man's daughter is exempt from Chalitza or Yibam, since she is an erva to him, Kach Tzarasa Petura, so too is her co-wife going to be exempted as well. Halcha Tzaras Bito V'niseis L'Achev Hasheni, if his daughter's co-wife went and married the second brother, meaning the second surviving brother performed Yibam with her, below Isha Acheres, and the second brother has another wife as well, Vames, and he dies too, Kishem Shatzaras Bito Petura, just as the daughter's co-wife is exempt, so to the co-wife of the co-wife is going to be exempt as well. Afilu hein mea, even if there are 100 brothers, so on and so forth, the co-wife of the daughter married one of them and had another wife, and he then died without the children, and then both the widows are forbidden to this daughter's father, and so on forever. Ketzad im meisu tzaroseyan mutaros. What is the case in the previous Mishnah where if one of the 15 women died, their co-wives will be permitted to the brother for Yibam? Haisa bito achas mikol ha'ayaros ha'ilu nesua la'achiv. If his daughter or any of these other women who are in erva was married to his brother, below Isha Acheres, and his brother also had another wife, meisa bito onis garsha, and his daughter then died or was divorced, which would end the marriage, and then his brother died, then the daughter's former co-wife is permitted to him for Yibam. And any of these ervas who could have performed niyun and thereby canceled the marriage to the deceased brother before he died, but did not perform niyun and was still married to him when he died, does not completely exempt her co-wife. So now we learn of the case of when there's a doubt, the co-wife has to do chalitza with the surviving brother, but he may not be taken in Yibam by him, because the miyun relationship is one of only rabbinic value, and so the Torah doesn't recognize the marriage to the deceased brother on the biblical level, and therefore, on the biblical level, the living brother has to either marry her or perform chalitza, but the rabbis recognize this marriage, and the Torah doesn't, so she has to do chalitza and not yibam. That brings us to the end of Mishnah Beis. God willing, next time we'll continue with Mishnah Gimel, but for now, have a wonderful day.